1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've moved to verse 2. And Jennifer wants to know how to move mountains. So we'll see what that means. I don't know what mountain she wants to move because there are no mountains around here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Of all the doctrines, of all the attributes that are proclaimed of you, it is your love that is least understood and in some respects the most important. Because it is out of your love that you sent your Son. Father, I pray as we study this great chapter of the Bible, the Spirit will open our eyes to truth that we may understand correctly, truthfully, this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, which we studied last week. If I speak with the language of men and the language of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong, or a clanging cymbal, or an echoing noise. This is what you sound like to the world. Christ said to love as I loved you, so that the world may know that you're mine. But when you're just making a lot of noise, they think you're crazy. No matter what your spiritual gift is, no matter how much you know, if there is no spiritual love, not just human love, spiritual love from the Holy Spirit, not altruistic love, but spiritual love, this is what you sound like to the world, is the noisy gong. It includes those who speak gibberish. To the world, they sound like brass echoing or clanging cymbal. Not like a voice or a sound that would cause someone to be attracted to Jesus Christ. We want our speaking to attract people to the person of Christ. Like His words, "Come unto me, you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's attractive. But instead, you sound like a noise that is a nuisance, drawing attention to yourself. Have you ever heard someone gibbering away, claiming they were speaking in tongues? All they're doing is drawing attention to themselves. This is religion, and you only attract other religious people. You don't attract anyone to Christ. They just look at you, the world, and wonder what's wrong with you. If the world is going to know the love of Christ, it's going to know it from us. It's going to know it from the way that we love. It will be from born-again believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, loving as Christ loved. Not, "Hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Listen to my noise. Or observe how wonderful I am. Or focus attention on how much I know." Or you can focus attention on how Jesus Christ loved. And you say to someone, and I've done this many, many times, "You're wearing a cross around your neck." Do you know what that means? I think over 50% of the time I get, well, I said, "It's some demonstration of the love of God. He sent His Son to die for our sins." Yeah, well, why didn't you say that? See? So, you're going to know what it's about. You want to know what His love is about. You want to know what His love looks like. When you become an echoing noise, you're not fulfilling your mission to Christ. You're too busy attracting people to yourself without spiritual love. You say nothing. And you just draw attention to yourself. Verse 2 is problematic. Paul mentions four common elements of the Christian life. And I purposefully call these common. For as we will see, that without spiritual love, they're nothing. Spiritual love alchemizes these common things into something gold, precious before God. Spiritual love alchemizes it. Spiritual love takes something common and transforms it into something valuable, precious to God. That's what spiritual love is. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, the word all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, spiritual love, I am nothing. I hope this will sink into you. Give the prophecy, knowing all mysteries, all knowledge, faith to remove mountains. People, this is just overwhelming. But do not have love, spiritual love, I am nothing. I hope you're beginning to understand and see the importance of the new commandment and how spiritual love is, how important it is, how essential spiritual love is to the new commandment. This is not a negative statement about these four essentials, nor does this minimize their value. In fact, some people like lists. Religious people like lists. Look at here, all I did today. I did this, I did this. Oh, I didn't do that, but I did this. They like lists. They have their list. Here's a list for you. You want a list? Here's a list for you. Look at it. Prophecy, mysteries, knowledge, faith, and love. Now that's a list. Spiritual love here is a... This just makes this a great list for your life. What Paul is saying is something vital about spiritual love. Not minimizing knowledge, but saying something vital about spiritual love. He is saying that without spiritual love, none of these, even knowledge, are useful in your spiritual life. It is spiritual love that makes valuable these attributes. We have to know what spiritual love is, and we have to know what it is not. We have to know how to get it. Now, the first phrase. If I have the gift of prophecy. Now, again, Paul starts off with that third-class condition. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. That's not the point. Now, first you will note that gift is not in the original. It doesn't say the gift of prophecy. If I have prophecy. The gift of prophecy, if you want to call it that, was one of the great temporary gifts at the beginning of the church age. We'll see that as we go through Acts. By the way, Sunday night was absolutely exciting to me. For me. You just don't know what it's like to spend hours and hours studying, say amen, and then just get some walks out. And you go, okay. But Wednesday night, Rich started it off, Kid added to it, Judith added to it, Nell, we all started talking. I was excited. I wanted to go to 11 o'clock, just talking. That was exciting. That was wonderful. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So, this is what we're talking about, knowledge, but you don't have the spiritual love with it. Now, so, gift is not there. It's have the prophecy. And it's a temporary gift at the beginning of the church age. This gift, not like it was in the Old Testament. Forget the Old Testament when you read prophecy. In the Old Testament, they wrote the books of the Bible. This is not talking about writing scripture. This is not talking about that. This is about, and has no national authority, no church authority. It has the ability to talk about, relate what's going on today with the Word of God. And there are men that are, I think, gifted that way. I think Hal Lindsey's gifted that way. And there are others. I think Hal is definitely gifted that way. It was related in the Old Testament to historical events, to Scripture, but not in this study. Events related to temporary history, and as great as it was, without spiritual love, it's nothing. Absolutely of no value. And know all mysteries. Now this is rich. All. Open your Bibles to Colossians. You know where that is. Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. Of this church, I, Paul, was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages, previous dispensations, and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, at you, believers, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, not the Jews, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all that's man and woman, every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. That's the Holy Spirit. But the part I want you to read here is mysteries. The mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. People, the unbelieving world doesn't understand this. And I'm sorry. A lot of born-again believers don't understand it. Christ in them. That your body is a temple. Holy Spirit indwells you. And when you allow Him to empower you, Christ comes and abodes with you. But when we're out of fellowship, He doesn't want to be there. You don't want Him. Why would you want Him? You're out of fellowship. But when we're in fellowship, Christ comes and abodes there. All right, and know. See that word know? That's the Greek word oida. It means to know something to the point where it makes a difference in your life. I've been very tempted at times to ask Katharina, when I give a definition of a Greek word, is that the way she would understand it? Because what I understand is from biblical Greek lexicons. Lexicons who look at the Greek and understand it historically and spiritually. And the word oida means to know something to where it makes a difference in your life. You can know something and it makes no real difference in your life. Some people just love knowing information. Dan Hill's that way. He just loves to cram his mind with just useless information. See? And I'm amazed at people on Jeopardy. How much they know. I go, wow! How do you know that? Now to them it makes a difference. They're making money. But just most of us know all these things. So what? See? I have in our throne room a book, and it just says, useless information for the bathroom. and you just open it up and it just talks about stupid things that happened throughout history. See? Doesn't do anything for you. Just nice to know. Fun to know. Okay. This is knowing something has an impact in your life. Have an impact in the way you live, your marriage, your single life, every part of your being. See? Now, some of you, astute ones, may be thinking, well, if this person knows all mysteries and all knowledge, they would know the importance of spiritual love. Okay, thank you. You are beginning to understand how people study the Word of God in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the Latin, and never see it. And never see the gospel by grace through faith. Never see spirituality by grace through faith. They spend their life. This wall covered with books that they've written. I had to study some in seminary. They never saw the gospel. But they were students of the Word. You can study and study and study and know it and not know it. Not know what's going on. So, I want you to know that you can know something and then not make an impact in your life. You can know something where it makes a difference in your life. This love is by grace through faith. People I have known and still know, many people devote their lives to the study of the Word of God and cannot, will not, do not want to see. Spirituality is by grace through faith. It's by the works of confession. It's by the works of repentance. It's by the works of yielding. You've got to do something. They've abandoned the simple gospel. That's why our little black book is called Gospel for Christians. It's still grace by grace through faith that we live. And it's amazing the number of pastors who absolutely get upset. I mean, they get upset with John Hintz and me and Dan Hill or Jody Brown. Get upset with us. We don't get upset at them. It's really interesting how grace just, okay, you want to believe that? Go. But when you say, got something like that, you got to beat it into people. You got to make sure they all agree with you. And it's just amazing how that works. But grace is, okay, I understand the truth, and that's the way it is. See? Now, I want you to look at John 13, verse 1. Gospel of John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, feast of the Passover speaks of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death by crucifixion. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, death, that he would depart out of this world to go to the Father, resurrection and ascension. Having loved his own who were still in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, I want you to think about this. If Jesus Christ knew all things, all mysteries, about his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, but did not have love. I know I babble like a fool, but let's just do it for illustration. But did not have love. Did not have spiritual love. Be no benefit to us. No benefit whatsoever. Spiritual love, all that knowledge, simply would not have benefited us. But Jesus Christ combined in the power of the Spirit, remember the humanity of Christ, empowered by the same Spirit you and I are, and the Holy Spirit combined all that knowledge with divine-given spiritual love, and therefore became dynamic in Jesus Christ. And we are the objects of that love profoundly benefited. Remember, how does Jesus Christ love us? Sacrificial to himself, beneficial to us. And so all your knowledge, all mysteries of the Bible are of little value in the angelic conflict if not alchemized, if not transformed by spiritual love. Now let's pick up the next word. And all knowledge. Greek word, gnosis. This refers to knowledge of the Word of God. Bible doctrine, if you please. And every one of you know how important, how essential knowledge is. That's how I spend my life. My life is spent studying the Word of God, teaching you the Word of God, so that you'll understand the Word of God. Yet, many believers take in doctrine, but have no impact in history. Why is that? Why is that? Doctrine, even the Word of God, has no impact in life. Now, they're deceived, and I know many like this, into thinking that their knowledge does give them some priority in the world. But even their application of doctrine is dead without spiritual love. Without spiritual love, all your knowledge has no impact on you or on the world. Remember what Jesus Christ said when he gave this new commandment. By this, loving as I loved, all will know that you're mine. He didn't say by all the knowledge, by love. He did not say by your knowledge of the Bible. As important as that is, he didn't say that. By your knowledge, all will know that you're mine. He said, by your love, all will know that you're mine. Spiritual love. And people, this is spiritual love all the time. At home, with your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, work, travel, church, wherever and whatever we do. This is supposed to exemplify our lives. Many believers are impressed with their knowledge, or they at least try to impress other people with their knowledge, but they have no spiritual love. Therefore, all that knowledge is nothing. You just sit back and it's nothing. There are believers who have knowledge, and their knowledge keeps them away from a local church. Oh, I know more than the preacher does at that church. I don't need to go. There's no church that the preacher knows more than I do. So I don't need to go. See? So they boast how they know all these things. They know how to be filled with the Spirit by works. But what comes out of them isn't even close to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. People, if you're going to take time to get here, get dressed, come here, make sure your knowledge, your growth in the Word of God is a spiritual benefit. Allow that knowledge to work for you, not against you. Alchemize it. Take the knowledge, but alchemize it. Transform it, or allow the Holy Spirit to transform it by spiritual love. First you hear the Word of God taught in the power of the Word of God. Then you have to believe the Word of God for it to become a reality to you. But you have to add to that knowledge the dynamics of spiritual love, which comes only through the Holy Spirit. You've got to add the dynamics of spiritual love. Hearing plus faith plus the power of the Holy Spirit plus spiritual love. Glorifying dynamics, glorifying Jesus Christ, gives you an impact in the angelic conflict in the short time we have on earth. I know to Catherine and her sister, 70 years old is a long, 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 long way away. In fact, they can't even think of getting there. But I'll tell you what, to me, it's not a long time. It's just yesterday I was their age. People, our time on earth is very short. You don't know how long you have. Maybe you don't have the 70. But whatever time we have on earth, you want it to count for Christ. Only what's done for Him will go into eternity. All the other stuff just is buried with you. See? You want your time on earth to count, to be meaningful. And you have the privilege of it being. Because you have Christ in you, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the Word of God. You can make it valuable. You take in doctrine and omit spiritual love, that doctrine in your soul is dead. And readers, those who listen and listen to you, see nothing. They're not impressed. If I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Now it is important here, very important here, that Paul qualifies faith. Pay attention to what's going on in the Greek here. He qualifies faith. First he says, all, and that's in the text, all faith. But he qualifies all. Faith so as to remove mountains. Why does he qualify faith? Because if he had all faith, period, he would have faith in the Holy Spirit and would therefore have spiritual love. But Paul is making another point here about faith. I have all the faith required is the best way of reading this. I have all the faith so as to remove mountains. Okay. One, this does not include faith to be saved. This does not include faith to be spiritual. Two, this is faith that overcomes all obstacles. Think in the realm of a mountain as obstacles. This faith that he's talking about is faith that overcomes all obstacles in life. Three, this is a wonder-working faith. Four, Mark chapter 11. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark 11 for point four of faith to remove mountains. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Now, I'd like you to show me, in all history, Old Testament, New Testament, time of Christ, anyone that moved a mountain, a literal physical mountain. There's no documentation of that. The context shows here that it is not talking about moving a literal mountain, but moving insurmountable objects. Insurmountable to your life, to your goals, to your objectives, these kinds of things. People, this could be 101 things. This could be your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. It could be society. We're getting close to where the insurmountable object is society itself. That's totally against Christianity. They want right now a Christian chaplain, a man made a chaplain for the Christians, not for the Muslims, not for the Mormons, but for the Christians, at Fort Bragg, and they designed a retreat, a marriage seminar. He refused to go because it was for same-sex marriage. And he said, I do not believe in that. They are going to try now not only to rip him of his military, they want him in prison for not obeying. So this is where we're headed, this kind of treatment in our society. So insurmountable objects could be almost anything that it would be there. So that brings us to point five. Point one, this does not include faith to be saved or spiritual. Point two, this is a faith that overcomes all obstacles. Three, this is a wonder-working faith. Four, Mark 11:22, moving insurmountable obstacles. Now point five. You can have this faith to move insurmountable obstacles, but without spiritual love, you can be very dangerous. John, the beloved disciple of our Lord, and John's brother James, also a disciple, had great faith without spiritual love. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, an interesting story in the Bible. Luke 9, verse 51. When the days were approaching for Jesus Christ's ascension, he was determined, mindset, to go to Jerusalem. Now, he's been with his disciples some 3 years, and here he is totally occupied with all that lies in front of him. Betrayal by a friend, Judas. Trials by religious people who had a great amount of knowledge but little understanding. Betrayal by a friend, Peter. Trials by pagan Gentiles. Mocked, beaten, spit on, then nailed to the cross. He was determined to go there. His love was a resolve to go and allow all these things to happen to him. Now, verse 52. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of Samaritans to make arrangements for him. Verse 53. We're in trouble now. But they, these no good dog Samaritans, did not receive Jesus Christ because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. This is an historical attempt to stop the mission of Jesus Christ, to stop his crucifixion. Now, here we go. Faith without love. Verse 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Now, people, that's faith. That's faith. They believe they could call fire from heaven and wipe out a, not move a mountain. That's a piece of cake. They're going to wipe out a whole village, a whole town. That's the kind of faith they have. Do you want us to pray the Holy Spirit? Then what he did not pray. Listen to this. How about, Lord, do you want us to pray that the Holy Spirit changes their mind? Do you want us to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them? Cause them to go into repentance? No. No love at all. That's not what they wanted to do. Do you want us to bring down fire on these apostate people and take them off the earth? Their loyalty to Jesus Christ was probably mixed with some racial rejection of Samaritans. All of this is going on in their soul. These are Samaritans. They don't like them anyway. They don't like Jesus Christ. They don't want him to come to their town. Let's just wipe them out. Let's don't pray that they change. Let's don't pray that they get convicted. Let's don't, Lord, how about we go another route? At least do that. No. Hey, take the city out. Let's remove it. Get rid of it. This is their faith. These two men, James and John, believed they could do this. They actually believed that they could bring about the destruction of an entire city of people. We, by our faith, will just remove this entire city of people. Not a mountain, but an entire city of people. See? We're going to remove all these people by judgment. Now, we have a lot to learn about faith and love. Namely this, neither faith nor love, there's just neither the faith nor the love that God is looking for. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your love the love God is looking for? Their faith was of that magnitude, that powerful. This is dead faith, James. Faith is dead, though it makes great claims. Love is dead, though it makes great claims. Now, what is interesting is that when Jesus called them to be his disciples, you know what he called James and John? In Mark 3:17, we don't need to turn there, but he called them sons of thunder. You boys are going to be trouble. And I know it right now. Y'all are hotheads and you're full of trouble. See? Why did Jesus Christ call them sons of thunder? What do you expect from thunder? Loudness, commotion, agitation, fire, destruction, all of that. That's what these two men are. See? I have a grandson. I think I'm going to change his name from Jace to Sons of Thunder. Little Thunder. That's what he is. John and James were extremely loyal to Jesus Christ. People, we want to be loyal to him. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful. There are people who are loyal to Donald Trump who are embarrassing. They're really embarrassing, their loyalty. You want to be loyal, but you want it to be controlled. So they're very loyal to the Lord. And they just flat resented anyone who did not at least respect Jesus Christ. Their loyalty is without spiritual love. Oh, they had a love. Don't misunderstand me there. They had a love, but it's a love that comes from the flesh. We love Jesus. We're loyal to Jesus. These people don't like it. Get rid of them. That's not spiritual love. That's not the love Christ is looking for. See? Let's just murder them. If you really want to know, let's murder them. Let's get rid of them. Murder them. See? Now, they had a love, but it's love of the flesh, not love from the Holy Spirit. They argued. At one point, they had an argument. How about this? Who is going to sit on Jesus Christ's right and on his left side? John wanted to be on his right, James on his left, James on his right, John on his left. They had an argument about it. They actually forbid a man from casting out demons just because that man did not follow them. And here they have faith to call fire to destroy an entire city. They were hot-headed about their love, human love for Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at Jesus Christ's reply. Verse 55. But, whenever you see that in the Bible, you always want to stop and think about that. Uh-oh, something's going to happen now. But, he, Jesus Christ, turned. Probably they were behind him or beside him, but he turned to them. Turned and rebuked them. The Greek word means to admonish strongly, with urgency, with authority. And said, and is admonishing them, this is what he said, you do not know what spirit you are of. That's a nice way of saying, you're full of the devil. That's what he's saying. You have a spirit of hate, not loyalty and love. A spirit of destructive power, not constructive, destructive. You have a spirit that refuses to see the whole issue of Jesus Christ and why he's here. Verse 56. For the Son of Man did not come. Here he comes, straighten him out now. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. What did they want to do? Destroy these people's lives. Whole city. Men, women, children. We'll just call down fire and wipe it out. That's removing a city. That's removing a mountain. That's what it's talking about. That's an object that is in their way. Let's wipe it out. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Now we know from the gospel, later life, that James and John got it. But at this point they didn't. Remember, they're kids, they're just teenagers. By now they may be 19 to 21, 22, if that. So they're just now growing up and learning these things. His will is that in the second advent, he will destroy lives. When Christ returns again, there's going to be a baptism of fire. Removal of all unbelieving Jews, removal of all unbelieving Gentiles after the Battle of Armageddon. And Armageddon is going to be devastating. The blood will go up to the shoulders, shoulder of a horse. It's going to be horrible. See? And then he takes off all believers, all unbelievers off the earth. That's the second advent. But the first advent, he came to save mankind. Now, I know all of you know John 3:16, but not to insult you, let's look at John 3:17. Let's open your Bibles to John 3:17. Not 3:16, but 3:17. For God did not send the Son, this is God the Father, author of the plan, did not send His Son into the world to judge the world. But that the world might be saved through Him. That word might. Not all are going to be saved. There are going to be those who say, no, I do not want Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just as there are many believers. I don't want to make Christ the ultimate of my life. I don't want to make my life to learn the Word of God. I don't want that. That's not what I want. Some believers, that's what I want. I want Christ to be my life. Few believers. Not all. A few. So he said he came that all, that the world might be saved through or by means of him. Now, here we could spend a lot of time on the inconsistency of John especially and James of their love and their loyalty to Jesus Christ. Peter. If John was consistent, his friend Peter flat denied he even knew Jesus Christ. John forgave him. John befriended him. In fact, I believe John was with him that very night, later on. We know he was with him later. So he's not very consistent with his love and loyalty of Jesus Christ. See? We must be so careful as to our racial likes and dislikes, our national likes and dislikes, our personality likes and dislikes. See, most of us, in our flesh nature, we really don't like to be around people whose sin pattern is different than ours. See? If you have a sin pattern that's like mine, fine, let's go. But if you have a sin pattern where you like to be religious and pious, I really don't want to be around you. See? In my flesh nature. So we have to be very careful of our likes and dislikes in the flesh. Their kind of faith is faith from the flesh and does not consider the object. Their love is not love by the Holy Spirit. Good illustration. This is a perfect illustration of love of the flesh. On the surface, it may sound great. Oh, look how loyal they were to Christ. They didn't want anybody not to like Christ. That's really loyal. They weren't loyal. But loyal at all. Loyalty to Christ respects why he's here. See? And for James and John, it was all selfish. This is the kind of love that causes believers to hurt one another, bite one another. What seems good, only this is not good according to the Word of God. So, with faith, their faith, like their love, is self-centered. This is not the kind of faith God is looking for. So get in the habit of asking yourself, is my faith the faith God is looking for? Is my love the love God is looking for? See? Is this faith and this love pleasing to God? This is not the kind of faith. If it isn't, you say, this is the kind of faith that is pleasing to God. This is not the kind of love that's pleasing to God, what we've just studied, what comes out of you. Is it a faith and a love that is pleasing to God? There are two great issues here. Or we could say there's really one, depending on how you want to look at it. If you want two, love and faith. If you want one, faith. And then love comes from that faith. So we could see one or two. If we understand that faith comes first, faith in the Holy Spirit, and then from that faith in the Holy Spirit is the flow of spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. We must have faith that God is looking for. And we've always got to be on guard. Is this faith the faith God is looking for? Is this the love God is looking for? Christians can claim faith. Christians can claim love. But it is not the faith and the love that God is looking for. It is not faith in God. God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. Many people actually, in truth, have their love, have their faith in what they do. I believe that if I confess, God will fill me with the Spirit. And that's what they believe. I don't care how they color it, that's the bottom line. If I will do this, God will do that. If I will do this work, then God will bless it. It's not faith. That's not the faith God is looking for. It's not faith in what we do. It's faith in what He's done. It's faith in what He has already accomplished. I trust Him in what He's accomplished. See? Is it the love that God is looking for? Your love for Christ, or you want to hurt other people? That's not His love. That's not the love of Christ. So you have to ask yourself continually, is this the love that God desires? Is this the faith that God desires? See? So this becomes a great issue. Well, next Sunday morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we come, by the way, before I even go on, let me just take time to publicly embarrass Jennifer. Did we answer your question? Good. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'll give you money later. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. One of my favorite things to do every morning is go through church history, that day in history. And I don't think there's been a day that is somewhere in church history someone has not been martyred for Christ, someone has not given up something for the poor, given their life for the poor. And I think about this all the time. I hope they were filled with the Spirit. One, I hope they were believers. And two, I hope they were filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, it's all waste. It's all waste. Well, we'll do this next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want our time on earth to count. It's so brief. Father, we just pray You'll give us continual opportunity to witness for You by loving as You love. At home, family, friends, work, social, church. Wherever we go, we'll love as Christ loved. Father, I pray Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning as Christ loved. Father, I pray Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning